ॐ ज्ञानचमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशवाकाय चाक्षुरुन्मुक्तं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मायं ददाति सपदन्तिकम् वंशकौपातरूभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभयैव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द स्याद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदे गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. So reading from the Jiva Dharma. So we're following the story of people coming to Krishna consciousness, the generation after Lord Chaitanya. To Godrun's Weep, where there's a great Vaishnava called Paramahamsa Babaji, who was immersed all day long in chanting the holy name with great taste and realization. And in the Jiva Dharma, we'll follow the story of many people coming to Krishna consciousness, and according to their who they are, they'll need a particular type of teachings to clear their doubts from coming to Krishna consciousness. So Sannyas Thakur, he's a Mayavadi, an impersonalist sannyasi. He had a question about Dharma. But to make a long story short, we've been following Sannyas Thakur. It's now the third chapter, and he finally makes the very serious decision to become initiated, which is a complete, a real initiation. A lot of times, mostly we just get a chance to be initiated, but the real initiation is when one's ego changes from I am the enjoyer and I'm the controller to I am the servant, my spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. One looks at the world instead of trying to control it. One looks at the world instead of seeing the world as separate from God and meant for one's enjoyment. One sees the world as God's energy and meant for the service of God. One completely changes his identity. So it was kind of gradual, and then Sannyas Thakur, he's coming forward in spiritual life, and he's chanting in Godrim Dweep, and then he has an epiphany, and he sees the uppercut Mayapur, and the holy places. There's something beyond the eyes that's happening there, which you can experience through bhava or devotion. Vishyatriya Kabe Shude Habe Man Kabe Hama Herabo Sri Vrindavandan. When you change your consciousness, when you're free from the desire of sense gratification, and your mind therefore becomes peaceful, then you can see Vrindavan. Otherwise, it's covered by our depression, it's covered by our passion. Just see, even the mind, when it's depressed, how it covers one's vision. So that even things that are very, very beautiful and tasty seem dull. So his when your vision becomes purified, you see something else. And something else is revealed. It's just like I give the example of a person. according to our relationship with the person, we may, by the revelation, by the mercy of, by the love of that person, we may see things that we haven't seen before. Well, it's like that in the Holy Dhamma. And I know people who've also had this kind of vision. That you see the real Vrindavan. So you saw the real Mayapur, and it was really just a boost in his Shraddha, in his faith. Because when you see the real Vrindavan, when you see the real Mayapur, your heart becomes filled with ecstatic love. And you develop so much trust in this as the ultimate reality of sublimity. So he has this, and he decides at that point to change his dress. Initially, he wanted to put on the, what's called Babaji Vesh. Vesh means dress. Babaji Vesh means the of a complete Paramahamsa renunciate. He wanted to, but his guru made him wait because he didn't want him under the illusion that a change of dress, an external dress, is an indication of a change of consciousness. No, change the consciousness first and then change the dress. So after this, he changes the dress. His guru looks at him with ecstasy and calls him by another name, which is very significant. He calls him Vaishnav Das. And it's a surrender because he was known as Sannyas Thakur. The sannyas in Van Ashram, it's the guru of all the other Vanas and Ashrams. And he's on the top level of sannyas. So now his identification is not Van Ashram, not a social designation. I am just as when you enter into deity worship. First thing you have to do is Buddha Shuddhi. You have to get yourself in a spiritual identity to worship Krishna. So sometimes there's mantras given, and one of the mantras is Naham Varnicha Gripatir Vaishno Nisudra. You know, I am not any social designation. I'm not any social designation. I have a complete spiritual designation that I am a servant of Krishna. So his guru gives him the name Vaishnav Das. And then when the Vaishnavas see him, they see a change. Change comes with commitment. As soon as there's commitment, there's change. Even in our own spiritual life, we have to make commitments. And one commitment can invoke substantial change. So he's thought about it. You see, when the jnani, when the person in knowledge comes to, there's four types of people that come to Krishna consciousness. People who are in distress, people who are seeking something economically, people who have a curiosity, and people who actually have realized knowledge. He already understood he's not the body. See, he's not asking something. So when a person like this comes to Krishna consciousness, he becomes very dear to Krishna. He becomes very advanced immediately. But basically, right at the very beginning, he's at the platform of love. Because he has no material desires. And once he gives up the desire to be God, he can enter into Krishna consciousness purely. So, he feels that. So the Vaishnavas see a change. And when Vaishnava Das, what a beautiful name, Vaishnava Das, when he sees the Vaishnavas, sees the other great devotees, people who are completely available for Krishna's service, and therefore humble, because they identify with being a servant, which is the humble position, and they're surrendered to something higher, something greater than themselves. So we see that real Vaishnava is an emblem of humility. So Vaishnava gets the dust of, he understands that three things that we need to seek that have a lot of potency: the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, the water that has washed his feet, and the remnants of his prasadam. I remember when I was in Vrindavan, and we used to get Prabhupada's breakfast plate, what he didn't finish. And what we'd want, it seemed we'd want the chewed orange, the chewed pomegranates, the potency of that, and the potency of that kind of consciousness, of that kind of consciousness of utter respect. That's what Vaishnavism is. Vaishnavism is utter, absolute respect. You're no longer in the consciousness of controlling things around you. You're in the consciousness of moving around Krishna. One second. So, a seed of humility was sowed in his heart, and therefore, even though he was such a prominent person in society, he looks at the Vaishnavas, and, well, first of all, the Vaishnava is seeing his humility. It's just a mutual exchange of respect and humility on the spiritual platform. So we see that this is actually a Vaishnav society. There's such a mutual exchange of respect and humility. So he looks at the Vaishnavas and says, these people are pure. So it's not a question of exploitation. It's a question of making yourself available for the service of Krishna. And making yourself available to the service of Krishna is surrendering and serving those who have made themselves available to the service of Krishna and therefore have that seed of service planted in their hearts. He says, deal with me how you see fit. And the Vaishnava is seeing his humility. They're begging for his mercy. So this is the scene. He's just become transformed. And then we're going to be introduced to the next person who's coming that's going to be converted to Krishna consciousness. And we'll see the issues and the misconceptions he represents. And therefore, through this way in the Jiva Dharma, it covers the whole gamut of philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So, a wealthy, influential Brahmin comes. And he's from a wealthy landowners. He's very politically influential. But he has no happiness. Because happiness is something internal, not external. And when you're in a very Janmaishvarya Shuta Shri Bir, when you have high birth, opulence, knowledge, and aristocracy, and you become intoxicated, and you think that that's happiness. Happiness is an internal thing. If that makes you peaceful to pursue Krishna consciousness, it's connected to your happiness. If you have a need that you pursue for the purpose of becoming peaceful for Krishna, but it's not happiness in itself. It is not happiness in itself. So he doesn't get any happiness from that. As we see in the world, that people who have the false conception that position, aristocracy, power, sex life, are happiness, they wind up miserable. Or people like that are happy when they're pious and they have some values, at least some values, some discipline, some culture, some devotion. So he has no happiness, he takes to Sankirtana because he was also in that culture of aristocracy, being trained by some musicians. He was also an expert musician, but the Vaishnavas didn't like it because real kirtan begins with spiritual love in the heart, not musical ability. Spiritual heart expressed through musical ability, that's kirtan. But musical ability itself is not kirtan. So gradually, he begins to experience some pleasure. Some seed of devotion is in his heart. But and so then one day, he comes to Gojra Dweep, where Paramahamsa Babaji and now Vaishnav Das are living. And he takes up residence in the ashram there. And he took a residence in another ashram of a Vaishnava, and then one day, accompanied by that Vaishnava who he was staying, they visit this Pradyumna Kunj, where this Paramahamsa Babaji and now his disciple Vaishnava Das are there. And when he's there, he's watching all this behavior between each other. And he heard Vaishnav Das's words, but doubts aroused in his mind. And he raises the inquiry before the assembly of Vaishnavas, and he just says, the Manu, Smriti, and other Dharma Shastras state that the Brahmin caste is the highest. According to the Shastras, the sacred text, religious rites such as chanting Brahma Gayatri and other Vedic mantras at dawn, noon, and sunset are considered to be nitya karma, the eternal duties of the Brahmins. If these activities are obligatory, why is Vaishnava behavior opposed to them? Because in the Vaishnava behavior, we have our rituals, we have our sadhana, we have our practice, but it's only to assist our devotion. It's not an aim within itself. And therefore, when it doesn't assist our devotion, then we don't have to follow. So we don't follow, Vaishnavas don't follow the strict, what's called smarta Brahmin culture. So he saw this among the Vaishnavas. One, he saw that they weren't all Brahmins. So this, I don't think his name has been given yet, But this wealthy Brahmin asked this question. So now, in the Jiva Dharma, this question will be answered through the story, through the dialogue. And we'll learn why Kiva Vipa, Kiva Nasi, Kena Sudraho, Ye Krishna Veta Tattase. It doesn't matter if you're a Kiva Vipra, a Brahmin, Kiva Nasi, Kena Sudraho, a Sannyasi, a Sudra, Ye Krishna Tattva Veta. If you know the science of God, say Guhoi, then you're a guru, then you're at the top. Satkarma Nipano Vipro. Even if you know all the karmas, all the rituals, mantra tantra visharda, an expert in mantra, a Vaishnava guru nisyat, if you're not a devotee, if you're not humble, because that's what devotee means. It means humble to the core of one's heart. Because one accepts oneself, not as God, not as everything, but as a part of everything, an insignificant part of everything. A joyous part. The size has nothing to do with the expression of love, and love is happiest. In fact, the bigger you are sometimes, the more proud you get. The bigger you think you are. So, he asked this question in a very challenging way, and Vaishnavas, they don't have taste for argument and debate. And normally they would not reply. They want to be entangled in various words because there's no ego there. They don't care if someone thinks they defeated them or someone thinks they're superior. You can see our ego and how much we want to argue to prove our point and how much we feel bad when our argument is defeated. But they don't really care. Because they don't care about power. But in certain circumstances, if misconceptions affect people, then they have to speak up. And since they saw that the person who asked the question, he was chanting Hari Nam, and he was regularly singing Hari Nam, then they thought they should clarify it for his edification. So the Vaishnavas say they will be most happy if Paramahamsa Babaji answers your question. So he's the original guru of this place. So the Vaishnavas asked him, but Paramahamsa Babaji said, he's really not interested so much, but he realizes the job has to be done. So he says, "O great souls, if you desire, the respected Bhakta, Sri Vaishnav Das, will answer this question." So here's this person that just came, but he's very, very exalted, having been a sannyasi before and renounced, and he was learned in Shastra and sacred texts. So Paramahamsa asks his disciple, Vaishnav Das, if you desire, you answer this in full. So Vaishnavas consented to this proposal. Now, Vaishnav Das, he's got this seed of humility. He regrets his past of forgetting Krishna. And that, in fact, that's the first samskara of real initiation is tapa. You have to regret your consciousness that's been away from Krishna. So, Vaishnava Das, he hears the words, and his guru asked him, and it's just so natural for him to feel unqualified. Because bhakti is above. You're seeing through how you feel to a certain extent. And when you must make decisions, then of course you become very thoughtful, but you generally are staying within the mood of the heart, you're actually seeing that everyone is serving Krishna better than you. What to speak of, he's new and all these great Vaishnavas are there and he's asked to speak before them. So he's getting some recognition and it's only making him see his lack of qualification. So he tells them how wretched and insignificant he is and how inappropriate it is for him to speak up in such a learned assembly. But on the order of his guru, he must bear that order. His guru has asked him. And he feels indebted because he's drunk the nectar of the spiritual instructions flowing from his guru's mouth, he tells them. So he'll speak, he'll remember that and speak. And this is real Vaishnav. He doesn't speak independently. He doesn't speak on a platform of ego. He doesn't speak thinking that he himself is in the center and better than others. But he speaks just humbly in the mood. Even if he's a great orator, even if he's become so learned, he speaks in the mood of a humble servant. I remember I tell this story when I was thinking of taking disciples about 20 years. Someone asked me. I told this story many times, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do, so I asked a sadhu friend in Vrindavan. And then, you know, he said, and it was a whole story, but he said I should do it, but he said, don't think you're a guru. But do it as a service to your guru. Be careful not to appropriate anything to the false ego. The conception and the desire that I am the center and that things should move around me. And that happiness will be when they do. So when one has to speak, he always offers prayers. And then he prostrates. Himself before his guru and smears his whole body with the dust of the lotus feet of his guru, and then he stood up and began to speak. It's so nice, the Vaishnav culture, the Vaishnav ritual, is always to the purpose of which is always to conform yourself, to move yourself, both externally and internally, in relationship to something higher than yourself. So now he's been asked to speak above everyone else, but he doesn't want to develop the consciousness that he is greater than everyone else. He doesn't want to develop the consciousness that he's greater than everyone else. So in that mood, he'll speak. And without that mood, one cannot speak. Because God, Krishna, is inconceivable. And we can't understand him or explain it without being bliss, without being blessed. So now, what he says is going to be quite philosophical. And I'm just going to read for 10-15 minutes and explain it. Now, the question again, why do the Vaishnavas not follow these strict rituals of the Brahmins, the strict rules of the Brahmins? So Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he's speaking, Sri Krishna Chaitanya is the source of all different types of expansions and avatars. He is directly Bhagavan himself, full of transcendental bliss. So first he explains position of Chaitanya. He's not the avatar, he's the avatari. Avatar means one who descends. He's not one who descends, but he is the source of all who descends. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is avatari. He's Bhagavan himself. Then he says the all-pervading, featureless Nirvishesha Brahman is his effulgence of his limbs. So Brahman is the effulgence. And then Paramatma, it resides in the heart of all. It's his partial explanation. So basically he's saying God, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different than God. Brahman is his effulgence. And the Paramatma is his localized manifestation in the heart of everyone. And now in all humility he says, may he be pleased to appear in my mind and answer this question. May God speak through me to answer this question. So now he begins and he explains Manu Samhita, that's the law of books and other Dharma Shastras of religious rules, are respected throughout the world because they establish the codes and prohibitions that follow the line of thought in the Vedic Shruti Shastra. So there's rule books and they're respected. And he said, human nature has two tendencies in regards to religious pursuit. The first is called vaidhi, to follow the rules and regulations of Shastra. And the second is raganuga, to follow the soul's spontaneous attraction towards Sri Krishna. So you can serve God because you know it is the right thing to do, which is called vaidhi, and therefore, even you have no attraction, you still do it because it is a rule of service. Or you can serve God because you like to do it. He said these are the two paths, vaidhi and raganuga. One, you do it out of obligation and duty, but still it's a kind of love. And the other one is pure spontaneous love. You do it because it is the soul's spontaneous attraction towards Sri Krishna. As long as the intelligence is under the control of Maya, human nature must be regulated by rules and prohibitions. So, as long as what you do, as long as you don't have attraction, for God, which is born out of the soul, and as long as you're under the control of Maya, or you have so many impulses for selfishness, then your nature must be under rules and regulations and prohibitions, because if it's not, if you don't follow rules and regulations that for the service of Krishna, you'll just follow your material conditioned nature, which is sinful. Thus, in that condition, the vitae nature will be in effect. When you come into spiritual life and you don't have such attraction, then to maintain, to be engaged in God's service, you have to be guided by the rules of God's service. But when the intelligence is liberated from the bondage of Maya, when you no longer have selfish impulses and you're developing a desire to serve Krishna, you don't have to govern your service by rules and regulations. Rather, you do it out of spontaneous love. And in this condition, the tendency to regulate yourself by rules no longer remains. And the spontaneous, spontaneous Raganuga tendency becomes manifest. It's just like if you're flying in a plane, you don't have to stop at the traffic signs and traffic lights. So if you have spontaneous love for Krishna, you'll serve Krishna automatically out of love, not because it's an obligation or duty or a rule. And this tendency, Raganuga tendency of spontaneous love, is, he's explaining, I'm just explaining what this Vaishnav Das is saying. He's saying this, is the unadulterated nature of the jiva. This is what the nature of the soul is, to love God. Not because it has to, but because it wants to. Now, this is a little technical. I'm going to explain it at the end of class. The pure spiritual jiva's relationship with the material world is completely terminated when Krishna wills. So without Krishna's mercy or desire, the jiva cannot be extracted by Maya. So he's explaining this. Connection with matter will not be completely terminated unless you can invoke God's mercy or will. And until this time, the practicing jiva, the sadhaka jiva, the practicing practitioner with the material, he can only tend towards its eventual sensation. Without Krishna's mercy, you can only have the tendency, the desire to be liberated. It will never happen. And during that time, your jiva's thoughts will attain freedom from matter to the extent of sarupata jata mukta, but not to the extent of vastita jata mukta. What this means is, during that time, we have not yet received the mercy of Krishna. You can attain liberation into the extent of your mind, but not to the extent of actually getting a spiritual body. You can have a mental conception of liberation, but you still won't attain your vastu city, your substance of spiritual body. And when you get that stage, where you actually get a spiritual body, then it's called the Ragatmaka Vritti, the mood of the perfected residence of Vrindavan, will be awakened in your pure jiva, both in terms of his internal identity within the mind and his actual actually become completely liberated, then the mood of the resonance of Vrindavan is awakened in your soul completely. And this nature, called Ragatmika Priti, is the nature of the eternal resonance of Vrindavan. So when the living entity, he's a sadhaka, and he's seeking liberation. So the sadhaka, in the stage of seeking liberation, becomes a raganuga by following the service of the Brijvasis. In other words, one hears about the pastimes of Krishna, one hears about the residence of Krishna, one becomes attracted to serve Krishna in a particular way, as one of the residents of Vrindavan does. And by aspiring and following that service, then one can become liberated. And then you receive many different spiritual graces and progresses very quickly. This condition of Raga Anuga should be ardently sought after by the jivas. Until the jiva comes to this point, his intelligence will always be attached to the material world. And then what happened? Why? Because when the conditioned jiva is in contact with matter, his inherent nature changes. The inherent nature is servant of Krishna, it becomes transformed. This was mentioned previously, just like the nature of water is liquidity, but a certain condition of freezing temperature, changes it to ice. So in a similar way, the jiva, when he comes in contact with maya, the illusory energy, it creates this illusory conception that I am the enjoying controller. In his bewildered condition, he has no pure, natural attachment to spiritual objects. And due to his falsely acquired nature, nisarg, he's thinking of the body and the controller, he mistakenly thinks that his attachment to mundane objects is his spiritual natural attainment. Anyway, I'm going to stop here. It's very technical stuff. It's probably enough for today. We'll discuss it more in depth the next time. Would anyone like to say hello today? I know there's some of the people in New York that attend my lectures, even though people are here on the phone, a lot of the people are from New York and Jersey. A lot of it is doing kirtan today, so I suspect that several of the people are there that usually call in. Anybody like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna.
Who's that? Who's that?
Hare Krishna, Goloka.
Goloka, Hare Krishna. Great.
Hare
Wonderful.
Krishna.
Thank you. Good.
Thank
so
you.
So happy that you can. Good. You're hearing a lot of good ideas now.
This is
the way you learn. This is the way you learn in spiritual life. This is the process. If you think of any story of how people become enlightened, how people advance in Krishna consciousness, they hear with faith. From people they have faith, have some understanding and good ideas in the sacred text. That's good. Thank you. Anybody else like this? Good.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else
Maharaj.
Like this? Say, who is it?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Radha Dirti
Dasi.
Yes.
Are you coming in this weekend? Ami has said
yes.
You can stay with her. Did you contact her?
Yes, I will. No, I haven't yet.
Let me do this. After the class, let me call you, okay?
Okay.
Can I do that?
Thank you. Yes, of course. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Okay, I'll call you in 5 minutes. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, thank you all. We'll end for today. Don't you cope with your